That is music, and it comes from Kevin Abernathy from his new recording Family Hour, Stage Dad, a brand new record, and Kevin is in here in the studio jamming out with me as well.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Good evening.
Oh, well.
It's both, actually.
Yeah, we're probably on the cusp.
Yeah, well, and we will probably re-air this on Sunday afternoons as well, and so, you know, we've got it all covered.
Well, that's cool, because I don't like to get my time wrong. I like to keep my times right.
That's probably why we've never played in a band together. I have time issues. Well, let's talk about this record, who the drummer is on this one. That's Gray Comer, like laying down the hard rock beat.
There's a metronome for you.
Yeah, he nailed it. And who all's on this record? I know you. It's Kevin Abernathy's on.
Well, the standard band is Mike Murphy on bass, Gray Comer on drums, as we mentioned, and Barry Pohanna on guitar when he's available. And my daughter Roxy played on about four tracks, and she plays live with us sometimes. She's played out with us. It's kind of fun. It's weird. You know, you look over and see your daughter, who was, you know, a toddler, seemed like yesterday, and she's right there playing music.
Do you ever feel like you got to watch what you say, because it's not just you on stage, it's her dad?
Well, yeah. The practices, that's, you know, the guys like to cut up, and now they have to screen what they say. But they slip a lot, but she's heard it all.
Yeah, and you got Lucy singing on one.
Yeah, she sang back up on a track.
Yeah, and then John Baker, who was the recordist, I imagine.
Yeah, he and Gray recorded the record. And John played keyboards. He clapped his hands, I think, and sang back up maybe. Came up with a couple ideas for some, you know, bells and whistles type stuff. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So how did this evolve into a record called Family Hour? Was this something you were thinking, like, you know, I should document what's going on in this aspect of my life, or did it come together in a different way?
It started with, I think, beach music. We were at the beach down at Tybee Island, and I came up with the idea for that song down there, watching this old couple. They had to be in their 80s or 90s, stumbling out there in the waves. They just went for it. They just ran out there, got knocked down. You know, there were jellyfish all around stinging people. And I just thought, oh, man, they've probably been coming down here for 50 years or something. And then, but that same day, I took a bike ride down the beach, maybe like a mile, and I noticed that there weren't any stereos, no, you know, portable stereos playing. You couldn't hear music anywhere. Everyone had their earbuds in, or there was just no music. So I got the idea for beach music there, and that was the first song. And the second one was You Kids, and after a couple songs, it just seemed like I got a theme going. I mean, typically, all my records turn out like that. And I detect a theme, and then I guess thoughts just start generating from thinking about the theme. And so it seemed like each song turned out to be about, you know, true life events or something, you know, family life.
When you told me the name of the album, which is Family Hour, for some reason I just imagined it would be an acoustic record with the whole family sitting around the campfire singing. But this is a rock and roll record.
Yeah, I like to rock. Yeah, you know, I did put out an acoustic type record a few years back, and then, you know, I slowly went back to rocking. And just however the song comes out, you know, it seems like if you start out with an acoustic guitar and you're just strumming and you have a song idea and you're not sure where it's going, it seems to be more of a mellow song. But if you start out with a guitar riff in your basement through an amplifier cranked up, you know, it's going to be a rock record. And I think most of the songs started like that, with like a guitar riff, electric guitar riff.
So you were riding on electric?
I think so, yeah.
Mostly.
I had, you know, that riff to You Kids. And
which is kind of a Mott the Hoople kind of, for me, kind of a vibe to it.
Yeah.
That's what I hear, but I don't know what you hear.
Someone said Hillbilly Faces. I don't know.
Oh, I kind of like someone's more clever than me.
Yeah, it's just a straight ahead kind of rock and roll song.
Well, the first song we played on the show, Stage Dad, that is a four on the floor rocker, almost punk rock.
Yeah. The thing on this record, I tried to keep the song short. That's a challenge for me because I usually write, you know, narratives and story songs that, you know, it's hard to put 16 lines in 2 minutes. So that's what sets this kind of record apart from the last records is that if a song was like 3 minutes and 15 seconds, I'd say, no, let's go back in. Let's trim some fat. We can do this under three, you know. And so we would go in and, you know, try to, you know, bring it down to 250. It was fun doing that and a challenge. And that particular song is probably the shortest track on there, yeah. I could have written a last verse, but I didn't. And the first person I played it for, they're like, it sounds like it needs a last verse. I'm like, no, it's a 2 minute song.
Why did you want them all to be short?
It was just an exercise, I think.
I like it.
Because I tend to write long songs, 4 or 5 minute songs, 6 minute songs. But aside from Beach Music, which is like that, it's, you know, a story song from like a character. The rest of the record, I'm actually in the songs on this record. You know, they're my true feelings.
Yeah.
Most of it, not all of it.
Well, let's listen to the one that started it off, I guess, in terms of the project itself, Beach Music. And this clocks in at an unbelievable length of 5 minutes and 9 seconds.
Across the Moon River, there's an old house we used to rent by the week, and we rocked it off in stilts. Do you remember? They could hear us singing all the way into town. Now the radios are broken, and if you think I'm joking, take a ride down the strip, it's a drag. Just like everything else, the kids up and left, and I don't know if they're ever coming back with the beach music. Yesterday, I saw Mr. and Mrs. Brown. They've been coming here now 37 years. And they stumbled in the surf till the waves knocked them down. Man, their laughter would bring you to tears. 'Cause my speakers are busted and the turntable's rusty. Down on the boardwalk, it's a different game. They all stare at their phones and you can't hear the song. You wonder, will it ever be the same without the beach music? Thank you. watching her dance in the sun. To the beach music.
That's a song called Beach Music, and it is by Kevin Abernathy. And he's here in the studio with us. His new recording is called Family Hour. It's just a delightful record. Wonderful performances. Great edited songs. You got them down to the marrow, man.
Yeah, yeah. That, like I said, that was a challenge to try to, you know, trim the fat and keep them down. Well, that song particularly is really long, but the rest of them are. Is that what you're talking about, the length?
Yeah, well, you've got them narrowed down to like the shortest possible length you can get away with, except for that one.
Except for that one, yeah.
Are you happy with the result now that
oh,
it's
yeah.
finished?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a short record. It's only like 27 minutes, but, you know, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
We didn't listen to long records. You didn't have the attention span, really. And I think people don't nowadays, so I'm fine with 27 minutes.
I am, too. In fact, there I went through a period there where I put out an EP. I remember saying at the time, it's like, I'm never putting out a full length again. I'm just going to do EPs. I didn't hold to it, but I'm kind of thinking more about that again, you know, just keeping them short
mm-hmm.
and before I get bored with it and then hopefully so people are less likely to get bored with it listening to it.
Yeah, you want to make a record that you're able to listen to in the future, you know?
Yeah, and I think there's something really to that challenge of keeping the song short, because it really does force you to look at what the song is about and what it's going for.
Yeah, it's part of the craft, I guess. And that's a new thing for me. Like I said, it was a challenge to write a short song, especially a 2 minute and 13 second song. The 3 minute song I'm getting fairly good at, but they usually clock in around 4 minutes otherwise.
So we start out the show with Stage Dad, which is actually really hilarious.
Yeah, you know.
Subtly so.
It's a satirization, I guess. It's about this, you know, it seems like people are, and I'm speaking from experience here, they're okay with the soccer mom and the baseball dad and the basketball grandpa, but when your kids get on a stage and perform music, there seems to be some kind of stigma attached to it, you know. The stage parent gets a bad rap, it seems.
No
like.
Matter what.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like, oh, you weren't a performer, you didn't make it, so you want your kids to do that. But, you know, so I made a song out of it and tried to make it kind of fun.
So all your kids are musicians, and they got a band, the Pinklets.
Uh-huh.
Are you a stage dad? I mean, at what point do you interject, and what point do you step back?
You know, my stage dad years are coming to a close because they're pretty, you know, I guess they're starting to run their own show. They're, you know, Roxy Drives now, and they're getting their own gigs. I have driven them to gigs and help them set up and stand there in case they break a string or something. But as far as coaching or anything like that, no, I've never done that. I never taught them how to catch a fly ball. They learned all that on their own, how to write songs. You know, I give them advice, but I'm not there when they rehearse. I'm not like, you know, cracking the whip. I'm no Joe Jackson by any means.
Do they ever give you feedback on your music?
Not really. They kind of laugh a lot about the song, especially like Stage Dad and other songs I've written about them before.
Keep those lines drawn, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's their thing. I stay out of it, and I'm never there when they practice. They rehearse at the house now, and they rehearse upstairs, and when they have something coming up, we leave. We go eat. We go have a drink, and we're always surprised when we see them because they'll have a new song, and we'll never heard that before. We literally do not come home till they're done. You know, it's like it's loud, and you know, I don't want to hear it.
Giving them space, and then also you're giving yourself some space.
Yeah, I'm a critical person. I'd be outside. I mean, this has happened. I'm like, what are they doing? Why are they doing it that way? You know, so I just leave now.
What's another track on here that's a favorite of yours? I've played you my two favorites. What are your two favorites? Is that a horrible thing to ask you to choose? Which is your favorite daughter, by the way?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm kidding, kids.
I like the way the whole thing turned out. I kind of like Don't Say My Baby.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fun.
Where did that one come from?
One day my wife said she was going to dig a pond for the kids to, you know, play and swim in, and
I'm like,
really?
Ambitious.
So yeah, I'm like, really? I'm like, you're gonna dig it? She goes, yep. And then she found a spot. A couple days later, I go outside and she's got her work boots on and she's digging with a shovel. And I was like, you know, we should just rent one of those mini excavators and have this done in like 2 hours. And she was like, no, those are for sissies. And she,
guess I'm a sissy.
Yeah, that one line is true. And then the rest I just kind of made up.
Is it uncomfortable at all when you're writing about your own experience in your life? And do you edit out things that, A, are too personal, or B, make you look bad, or, you know?
Yes. And like I said, I think we touched on it earlier. I'm never in any of my songs.
Yeah.
This is really the first time. And it is uncomfortable. You know? It's different for me.
Do you feel like after you've done it, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have put that out? You know, maybe I don't want to share that.
Yeah. And I'd screened some of these songs through my wife, and she actually said, do you want to say that? I'm like, yeah. Or, no, you're right, I shouldn't. But yeah, when you write from someone else's perspective, another character, you can get away with a lot more. And that's what I really like to do, because it's not me, even though it's in the first person. It's not me. It's someone else, you know.
But you can be in there as the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your painting.
It is your painting,
yeah.
But it's not you. You know, Randy Newman proved that well.
Oh, gosh. He's actually the master of being able to get into a character and the character be so horrific or disgusting, but you know it's not him,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
The hardest thing is making the character believable, you know, for the listener. It's that's the main thing.
I always think about like Larry David and like Sarah Silverman. On their shows, they make themselves look so bad, and I wonder, are they close to that? You know, are they?
I think Larry David is exactly like that in real life.
Oh, man.
I hope he is.
I know. It'd be kind of disappointing if he was a good guy, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah,
be. Or just occasional good guy.
Yeah, that guy.
All right, we're going to hear it. Don't Say My Baby. This is Studio 865 Flipside. Todd Steed and Kevin Abernathy.
Well, she woke up one morning, grabbed a shovel and some boots, went out to the backyard and dug a swimming pool. Murder, she on the phone and flipping eggs. Don't say my.
You had to get the dive bomb in there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you nailed it.
I grew up doing dive bombs, and that's not a shot of whiskey.
I hope not. Just the thought of that makes me want to throw up a little bit.
I know.
Like shooters. When someone says shooters, I start feeling the urge to retch.
And they used to name bars shooters.
Yeah, that's a place I'm not going to go. One thing I've always really liked about your electric side of things is you've always got great riffs going on. When push comes to shove, who out there in the guitar world plays riffs that you like? You know, just for like the beauty of the riff.
Well, I grew up on all the classic rock stuff, but...
Who's the best in that lot?
Man, it was like AC/DC, of course, early stuff.
That's, you know, it sounds better to me now than it did when I was 17, and it sounded pretty damn good when I was 17.
I know, and yeah.
Why is it so good? I mean, it's...
I don't know.
I mean, literally, like, if I hear AC/DC now, I can't believe how good it sounds. It just sounds so incredible.
I know, and about once a year, I'll get in the car, and I'll get Powerage or whatever, and just plop it in and drive around and listen to it, and just... kind of relive those days, you know. But no, it sounds really good to me still, and just all that stuff, you know. At first, when I, you know, was around 12, I really liked Lynyrd Skynyrd because they had three guitar players, and I was just in love with that double live album that they had, and I just stare at it and listen to it over and over, and the guitar playing was so good to me. And Boston, I thought that guitar stuff was really good. And then later it just got heavier and heavier there, you know, in high school. And I had an older friend that lived up the street who was into like underground music. He would find like import records. And so there was that new wave of British heavy metal of the late 70s, you know, Judas Priest, Tigers of Pantang, and bands Budgie. He turned me on to that stuff, so I always liked Van Halen, the feel of those early records and that stuff too. We'd go to concerts. You'd get on the front row. You'd watch your heroes play, and then you'd go home and try to. That's how you learned, and then you'd go home and play the record and like, now his hand was up here when he did that. You know, that's what we did. Still a part of me, you know.
Yeah,
it's still a part of my playing. All that hard rock stuff.
Well, that's what's so amazing to me about it is that I kind of in my mind thought that, you know, at a certain age I was growing out of it. You know, I went through a phase where I felt like I was growing out of. You know, I loved like Black Sabbath and AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, and all that. And then I remember a phase where I just like, yeah, that stuff's kid stuff. And then hearing it again after taking a break from it, go, no, it's not. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I did the same thing. And then when I went back to it, I was like, golly, this is... And then I started collecting it again because I lost all my records over the years. And
have you gone back and listened to Lynyrd Skynyrd live at the Fox?
I was at my parents' house in my dad's garage. His neighbor put out an old console stereo, was throwing it away, and he called me up. He's like, this thing is awesome. Come and check it out. And, well, he didn't say awesome. I go out in his garage, and he's got all his old records out there that used to be in the house and another console that I grew up with. But and I was going through the records, and I found that record, that Lynyrd Skynyrd record, with my name scrolled on it. I guess I didn't take it with me because it was scratched a little bit. So, but, yeah, I was like, wow, this is my old Lynyrd Skynyrd record.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for coming coming in this afternoon, man. Or this evening or whatever it is.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Sunshine is the new rain. Delusion is the new sane. Believe what you want to. Hell, it's supposed to be fun. You know it's a bad year when you cry until you laugh. There was a time we didn't care how the cards were stacked. Let's pretend like we don't know better. Baby, let's pretend we got nothing to lose. In a car named Lucky, we were broke down in the rain. That grass was blue in Kentucky, but the grass we had was